So we're beginning here on the top of Mem Tedem and Aleph, four lines down. Amar Rabbi Barchan, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Shitin Misheshet Yimei Reishit Nivru'u. So here the Gemara is discussing the Shitin because of the Nisuchim that we discussed before, that those pipes from the Nisachim went down into the Shitim, went down into the depths, into the Tahom, and that's where the Nisachim went. Rabbi Barchan says the name Rabbi Yochanan that the Shitin they were there from already these pipes that led down into the Tahom. They were there already from the time of Maaseh Breishit. Shneamar, Shneamar Chamukei Yerechayich, your rounded thighs, Kemo Chalayim, are like jewels. Maaseh Yedei Aman, the work of craftsmen. Chamukei Yerechayich, Elo Shitin. Your rounded thighs, those are the Shitin, meaning that the pipes, the rounded pipes, they're like the thighs. Kemo Chalayim, like jewels over here, shem mechulalim v'yordim ad tahom. So they define chalaim not as jewels, but rather as mechulalim, which are hollow. They hollow and they descend down to the depths. Maaseh yedei aman, zu maaseh yedei umunato shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The craftsman that put it together is the handiwork of Hashem. Tana debei Rabbi Yishmael, bereishit, al tikri bereishit. Don't read it as in the beginning, Ella Barashit, that Hashem created. Now, it's interesting, in other places, Barashit means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world to last for 6,000 years. Here, the Gemara interprets, Barashit Ella Barashit, that He created this Shitin. He created these pipes that descend down into the Tahom. Tanya, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Shitin Mechulalim V'yordim Atahom. These pipes are hollow and descend down to the Tahom. Shneamar. Now they're going to quote from the Mashal HaKerem from Yishayahu, which is, Ashira Na Li Didi, going to sing a song for my beloved, Shira Dodi LeKarmo, a song for my beloved's Kerem, for his vineyard, Kerem Haya Li Didi, BeKeren Ben Shaman. My beloved had a vineyard in the corners or the far reaches of Ben Shaman. Ben Shaman is a place that is fruitful, that is very fertile. Its production or produce is very good. Vayazkehu, vayisalkehu, vayitaehu. So as Rashi explains over here, vayazkehu means like the word tabat, so that they created walls around it. They created walls, they built cities. Vayisalkehu comes from the word lisalek, means to remove, that they cleared away all the rocks, the stones from the area. Vayitaehu is that they planted it, vayitaehu sorek, is they planted it with a beautiful vine, a beautiful vineyard. Now Rashi says, Natu gefani mishubachot, planted beautiful vines, velo zmura. They didn't plant a branch, el sharashim atzman, roots, but in roots. Vayiven migdal betocho, and he built a tower in the middle of it. Vigam yekev chatzev bo. He also carved out, or quarried out, a yekev. Yekev is the wine press, the bore of the wine press. Now the Gemara says, Vayiteu sorek, that he planted it with these rooted vines. Ze Beit HaMikdash. This is the Beit HaMikdash, as Rashi explains. Shu Shorshan Bikaran. This is the base, the roots of Bnei Yisrael. Mechavavan Lifnei HaMakom, because this makes them beloved before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vayiven Migdol B'tocho. They built a tower in the middle of it. Ze Mizbeach. This refers to the Mizbeach, which is built like a Migdal Oz. Vegam Yekev Chatzev Bo. They quarried out a bore, Elu HaShitin, that is the depths that are underneath the Mizbeach. Oh, very good. So here it's clearly a Machloket, which is what you're seeing now, whether the Shitin existed, Misheshet Yimei Breishit, and they were done by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or were the Shitin a part of the construction of the Beit HaMikdash. So the earlier two views were that it was created by Hashem, they were there from Maaseh Breishit. Over here, we have an indication that they were part of the construction of the Beit HaMikdash. They built the Mikdash, they built the Mizbeach, and then with the Mizbeach, they built the Shitin that allowed for the descent into the Tahom down to the depths. On your point right here, Tosafot mentions, Altika Breishit HaBarashit, Haitan of Rabbi Yochanan Savrei, Shesh Yimei Breishit Nivru. They were created from Shesh Yimei Breishit. Aval Idak Tana, the Dorish Gam Yekev Chatzev, lately, the Havukra Dorish Mizbeach HaShitin, the Mizbeach HaDei Adam Havu. So here he says that it was made by human beings. Exactly the distinction that you caught on to. Then Tosafot brings that there's an alternative girsa in the Braita that we just quoted. He says, that's the Rashi's girsa, and that's the girsa in all the Sfarim. Avabu Tosefta Garis, if you look in the Tosefta, Mashal also mentions that the Alkut has also a slightly different girsa, which is Vayivin Migdal Tocho Zeheichal. Migdal is the Heichal, the construction, the building that holds the Kodesh and Kodesh Kodeshim. Gam Yekev Chatzev Bo, Ze Mizbeach, that's the Mizbeach. Vikari Le Mizbeach Yekev, Lefish Minaschim Alav Et Hayayin. They call it a Yekev because that's where they pour the wine libations. Moshe Motzim Min HaYekavim, which are a derivative of the Yekev, of the wine presses. So then the Marsha has a slightly different version also of the Breita. But they all have the same idea that these Shittin here are a man-made part of the Migdash. Amar Lo Azar Bar Tzadok, Lu Katanaya ben Kevish la Mizbeach. There was a small trap door entrance between the Kevish, the ramp, and the Mizbeach. Bimaravo shel Kevish, on the western side of the ramp. Vatchat l'shivim shana pircheikuna yordim l'sham. Once every 70 years, the youngsters of the Kohanim go down there. That's what we discussed yesterday. Umalaktim sham yayin karush. And then they go and clean out all of the coagulated wine. Shadome li igulei dvela, that is similar to pressed figs. Ubaim v'sofrino to bikdusha. And they take it out and then they burn it. Bikdusha. Shinemar, bakodesh, haseich nesech sheikhar la'ashem. So that in the kodesh, that you have to be menaseich sheikhar la'ashem. Kashem, just like shenisucho bikdusha, when you're menaseich it, when you bring it as a libation, it's bikdusha. Kach sreifato bikdusha. So too, the burning of it afterwards, is Bikdushato. My mashmo. How do you know that from the pasuk? The pasuk doesn't say anything about Sreifa. It just says Bakodesh, Aseich, Nesech, Sheikhar Lashem. It says Amaravina, Acha Kodesh, Kodesh. Ktivacha, Bakodesh, Aseich, Nesech, Ktivhotam, Misarafta, Tenotar, Baish, Loye Achel, Ki Kodesh Hu. That the remainders is by the Miluim. It's a Parsha Tetzaveh. We just read about it in Parsha Shmini. Anything that's left over is burnt in the fire. Lo yachel may not be eaten. Ki kodesh hu, because it is holy. The kodesh over there means sreifa. So too, the kodesh over here means sreifa, hanotar. That which is left over is burnt. Just like the leftovers are burnt by the miluim. Now here you have also a description of a little trap door in the mizbeach. You have the ramp that goes up to the mizbeach and is adjacent to the mizbeach, but there's a small gapping between the ramp and the mizbeach itself. In that small gapping, on the western side, there's this door, this small trap door that they're able to enter in to get between the ramp and into the Mizbeach. And there they're able to descend into the Shittin, into those areas, and then take out the wine that had gathered or coagulated there. That would imply that it didn't drop down to the Tahom. It wasn't in the Shittin, weren't these pipes that led down to the Tahom, but rather Shittin was a hollowed out area below that captured all the wine. So now the Gemara is going to discuss exactly that point, which is Elahaditnan, Mishnah that we have from Mi'ilah, Nisachim b'tchila mo'alim behen. Nisachim in the beginning, you are mo'al behen. Anything that has kedushat aguf, if you misappropriate it, then you're chayav from Mi'ilah, the misappropriation of hekdesh. So here the Nisachim have kedushat aguf, you makdish them in order to place them on the Mizbeach. And so before they're put on the Mizbeach, then you are mo'al behen. Yerdu the Shittin. Once they descend down into the Shittin, ein mo'alin ben, there is no longer any mi'ilah. Lema Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Bar Tzadoki, let us say that the author of that position is Rabbi Elazar Bar Tzadok, who we just saw. Di Rabbonon ha nachnuluhu the tohom. Because according to Rabbonon, they went down into the depths. If you say that the Shittin were pipes down to the depths, then the wine descends, the libations, the water, the wine descends straight down to the tohom. There's nothing residual to go get. On the other hand, Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Tzadok is describing here as Shittin or some sort of capture mechanism or pool that allowed it to gather below and therefore they had to clean it out. That means that there is a possibility of getting to it afterwards. When it says, Afilu Teimer Rabbonon, B'Deiklit, that it was captured. I would have read De'iklit is that it got caught on the pipes. And the pipes down, it got caught on the walls. Rashi says somebody stuck a bucket in. As it was descending down, they put a bucket there and they caught it. That was it going down the pipes. Vigadam, right? Some say it the other way. Lema Rabbonon, it's for sure the Rabbonon. Velo Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadok. Di Rabbi Elazar akati b'kedushatai ukaimi. For Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadok, they still have kedusha. Because we require you to take it out and burn it. So if it's still kadosh, we understand why there's mila here. For the Rabbonon, it's over. Once you put it into the pipes, it's gone. It's over. So afilo teima Rabbi Elazar, ein lecha davar shenaseh mitzvato umo'olim bo. Yes, it has residual kedusha to require burning, but it still doesn't have a din of mi'ilah. Mi'ilah is only prior to the mitzvah being accomplished. The main mitzvah here is the nisuch, is the libation itself. Once you've done the libation, yes, there's a residual mitzvah to burn the leftovers that are in the shittin. That's exactly what it is. It's a residual. So there you won't be chayav mi'ilah, because that's not a misappropriation of ekdesh, because you've already accomplished what you're supposed to do with it in terms of presenting it to Hashem and bringing it as a libation. Amar Reish Lakish, bizman shemenaschin yayin al gabi mizbeach, when they pour the wine libations on the mizbeach, pokitim et ha-shitin. They plug the shitin. V'kayim yesh ne'emar, in order to uphold what is said in the pasuk, bakodesh, aseich, nesech, sheichar la'ashem. My mashmo, what does that have to do with pokitim et ha-shitin, plugging in the shitin? Amar ha-papa, sheichar la'shon shtia, la'shon svi'a, la'shon shechrut. That sheichar has an implication of drinking, an implication of satisfaction, l'shon shechrut, and an indication of inebriation. So Amar Rava, Shma Mina, Kisava Inish, Chamra, when a person enjoys wine, Migronei Savo, he enjoys it in his throat. And therefore, Amar Rava, Tzubra Mirabonon, to know Nefishalei Chamra, that does not have a lot of wine, L'gamei Gmuye, he should gulp it down. Rava, Kasa de Birkata, Rava himself, when he had a kosher bracha, Agama Gmuye, he would gulp it down. So now, you have here a description of the wine libations, that they were pokek the shitin. It's not exactly clear what that means, pokekim et the shitin. According to Rashi, it's a little easier to understand. So if you remember, Rashi yesterday had two stages to the nisuch yayin and nisuch hamayim, which is, you poured them into the bowls that were up top on the keren, then it flowed onto the roof of the mizbeach, and then from there, drained down into the shitin. So pokekim et the shitin, there you could just plug the shitin, where they enter, either they plug the point where it entered into the mizbeach, or they plug the point where it exited from the mizbeach. That's easy to understand. According to Tosafot, where it descends straight down from the keren into the shitin, it's hard to understand exactly how they plugged it or where they plugged it. But here, Reish Lakish describes, they used to plug it in order that it was something that was sheikhar. Now, the way Rashi describes it, the way Rashi explains this gemara, is that it wants to look like you were taking lots. There's a lot of wine here. There's plentiful, bountiful wine here. So when you plug up the shitin, it backs up. So when you're pouring it in, all of a sudden it starts to come up to the top and flow over to the top. So that makes it look like there's a lot of wine. It makes it feel like there's bountiful, plentiful wine. And because of that, Rava concludes that the best way to drink wine is to gulp it. And therefore, if you have only a small amount of wine, you should gulp it.
Didn't we also talk about how you should drink
it? Oh, very good. So Marsha quotes exactly what David just said. The Gemara in Brachot discusses about drinking wine and kosher bracha. And over there it says you should sip it and not gulp it. Right. Hagminyeni na me'at ma'im ikadech. Gmi'ah is not an indication of gulping, but rather of drinking in a measured manner, in a measured pace. It says, Hulei divrei Rashi. It says, if it wasn't for what Rashi explained, I would explain it just the opposite. That if you pour it into the pipes the way they are, then it's going to descend all at once. It's just going to pour down. It's like gulping. When you plug the shitin, it says you don't have to plug it entirely, you can just plug it a little bit even. You slow down the pace of the wine descending, and then you're drinking it in a measured pace, in a measured manner. And that's what Rava concludes from here, that the benefit of the wine is in the throat and not in the stomach. Meaning that when you enjoy wine, you enjoy it as it passes through your throat, not through the fullness of your stomach. As opposed to food, where it doesn't matter, the eating itself isn't as much as the feeling or the satisfaction afterwards that your stomach's full. The wine is not about filling the stomach, but rather about the pleasure of it going down your throat. So then he says, if you have a Talmud Chacham doesn't have a lot of wine, he should sip it slowly. And Rava himself, when he had a kosher bracha, used to sip it slowly because that increased the pleasure of the kosher bracha. He wanted to enjoy the kosher bracha. So the Marsha learns it just the opposite of how Rashi learns it. He says that the Hagmieni here, or the Gimua, is actually a slower paced, a measured drinking, which brings the pleasure in the throat, rather than Rashi's interpretation that means gulping down over here. And of course, they explain Pokukim et Shitin in that manner. Right, Doroshuavo, Mayrich Div, what is meant by the Pasuk? Mayafu pe'amayich banalim. How wonderful are your feet, your footsteps in their sandals and their shoes? But Nadiv, the daughter of a prince of nobility. Ma yafu pa'amotehem shel Yisrael. How wonderful are the feet, the footsteps of Klal Yisrael b'shas sholim the regel, when they go up to Yerushalayim to the regel. Bat Nadiv, now it describes them as a daughter of a prince, Bito shel Avram Avinu, the daughter of Avram Avinu, shnikra Nadiv, because he is called a prince or of nobility, shenemar. Pasuk says in Tehillim, you probably should be familiar with it, which is Nadivei Amim ne'asafu, the nobles of the nations gathered together, Am Elokei Avraham, the nation of the God of Abraham, Elokei Avraham, v'Elokei Yitzchak v'Yaakov, it's the God of Abraham and not Yitzchak and Yaakov, Elokei Avraham she'atzchilah de'gerim, rather the God of Abraham who was the first one to recognize the Kodesh Baruch Hu, to convert to Judaism, to take up Judaism. So that's why they're called after Elokei Avraham. Now this pasuk is familiar to you because it's the Perek in Tehillim that we read before we blow the shofar. We read it 7 times over, right before we blow the shofar. So that's why it might be familiar. Now, the question is, what does this mean? That Avram was the Tchilat HaGerim. What does it have to do with Bnei Yisrael going up to the regel, being Ole LeRegel? The Marsha suggests that Avram was the first, quote-unquote, Ole LeRegel, because he also ascended Har HaMoriah. He ascends Har HaMoriah, and then he brings a Korban on Har HaMoriah. So his children who follow in his footsteps are Ole LeRegel, go up to Har HaMoriah, and bring Korbanot on the regel. That's how the Marsha suggests that there's a connection between Avram Avinu and the Ole LeRegel. Now, Shayat Chila the Gerim, that doesn't connect as well, according to the Marsha, but what you might suggest is, Tichal the Gerim is, he was the first one to recognize Hashem, and then bring others with him to Judaism, gathered together. And so too, what happens in Yerushalayim during the Ole LeRegel is that everyone gathers together, everyone's Ole LeRegel, together. So there's a certain amount of Kiddush Hashem that's involved in them gathering together. Plus, there is an exposure that when you're, many explain that when you come up to the Beit HaMikdash and the Yalei Regel, you come up and you see all the great Talmidei Chachamim, you see all the Avoda and everything that's going on in the Mikdash. For an individual who lives in their own world all year round, so sometimes you can get the feeling, look, I've accomplished a lot. These are my goals. I've done so much. You come up to Yerushalayim to see the really great ones, to come up to see the Sanhedrin HaGdolah, to see the Kohen Gadol, to look up and say, there's much more to go. There are people who are our both representatives, but also people that we want to look up to and that we look to towards for inspiration. The same idea as Tchilat HaGerim, that the Aliyah HaRegel had an aspect of gerut, or refreshing, or renewal in the experience that they had when they came up to the Mikdash. Tana Debei Rav Anan, Maidichtiv, what is meant by the pasuk that we quoted earlier, Chamukei Yerechayich, that your rounded thighs? Lama Nimshlu Divrei Torah Yerech? Why is the Torah compared to a Yerech? Just like a yerech is bitzinah, is covered, af divrei Torah b'seter, so too divrei Torah should be done quietly, privately. I mean, the president shouldn't be teaching in public, out in the public. Also, the president shouldn't be a big shot or showing off with regards to their Torah. It's possible here that Chamukei Yerechayich is compared to the Torah because of the shape of the Torah. The roles of the Torah are similar to the thighs of an individual. V'ainu damar Rabbi Elazar ma'idichtiv, gid lecha adam matov, u'ma Hashem doresh mimcha. Tell a person what's good, and what Hashem wants from you. Ki im asot mishpat, v'avat chesed. Hashem wants you to be just, to do justice. V'avat chesed, to love kindness. V'tznei alechet im elokecha, and to walk humbly with Hashem. Asot mishpat, zeadit. Carry out justice, that means to adjudicate, to carry out the din. Avat chesed, zug milut chesedim. That is doing acts of kindness. Hatznei alechet im elokecha, zu otzata meit, vachnasad kalad uchupa. That's talking about taking out the mate, being malaveh the mate, and achnasad kala, and celebrating with the chatan and kala in their wedding. How do we know this? Rashi brings, how do we know that has to do with tznei alechet im elokecha? So he quotes the pasuk, Tov, the lechet of Beit Avel, mi lechet of Beit Mishteh. So you see there that lechet is applied to Beit Avel. It's also applied to the Beit Mishteh. So the lechet, or to walk, is associated with both the chuppah as well as leviata meit. And there it says, you should do it behatzneya. You should do it quietly and privately. Valo dvarim kavachomer. Ma dvarim shedarkam lasotam beferhesya. These are items that you really can't hide. Celebrating with the chatan and kala is a public thing. Being malaved a mate, or helping to take care of the mate, is something that whoever is in charge of taking the mate is going to know about. Other people are going to find out about it no matter what. Amar Torah atznei alechet, and yet the Torah still makes a demand to do it in a tzanua, in a humble and quiet way. Things that normally are performed bitzina, achad kam v'kama, certainly they should be done privately. The idea that doing things bitzina, with humility, with quietness, without bragging, without showing off, that's the most important way to carry out a mitzvah. Now, Rashi over here explains, what does it mean? It's hatsneya, lis'od b'midana'a, or lis'mach b'midana'a. That you should eat in a nice way, with proper etiquette, and to celebrate in a measured manner. And do not have this levity or unbridled happiness. It should be done in a way that still involves inhibition. If you're the one who's funding, you should do this quietly. Don't tell people who don't know about it. I mean, obviously there are going to be people who know about it because a wedding or a halavayat mate, it doesn't just take place in a vacuum. There are other people involved. So if you fund it, other people are going to know that you funded it. But if other people don't know you funded it, don't tell them that you funded it. There's no reason for you to make public or announce this information. Rather, it should be done behatzneya. It should be done quietly. It should be done without any fanfare. Now, Amar Rabbi Elazar, Gadol Oset Staka, Yoter Mikol HaKorbanot. One who gives tzedakah, one who does righteousness and takes care of others, that's better than any korban that you can bring. Shenamar, the pasuk says, they quote one pasuk here, you could look out throughout the Nevi'im are very clear about this, which is, aso, tzedakah u'mishpat, one should do righteousness and justice, nivchar la'Hashem mizavach. That is more choice before Hashem than any offering that you can make. Rashi over here points out that the zavach over here, it's not like the classic sense of zevach, which would mean shlamim. Zevach kovir is a generic term for any korban. This is better than any korban. Pasuk is clear that we don't have korbanot today, we don't have a mikdash today, but there is something you can do that's even more choice than that, and that's tzedakah u'mishpat. Now, the Gemara only focuses on tzedakah, which the Marsha points out. It says, asad tzedakah u'mishpat, nivchal Hashem mizavach. It says, how come the Gemara says, gadol oset tzedakah, yoter mikol korbanot? It's really tzedakah u'mishpat that makes it that way. So you can, he answers there, because the pasuk ends nivchar in the singular. It doesn't say nivcharu l'Hashem mizavach, it says nivchar, which implies that it's only referring to one of the two items. I would argue that tzedakah u'mishpat are not necessarily not correlated. We've mentioned this in the past, that the word tzedakah, the root of the word is tzedek, which means the just. That giving up tzedakah is, we think about the word in English is charity, which means that it seems to be like we're voluntarily giving of what is ours. The word in Hebrew is tzedakah, does not mean charity, it means tzedek. It means that is, that's the right. It means that you have someone else's money, as the Or HaChaim says, and you need to return it to them. Hashem granted you more than you needed, and someone else has less than they needed. Tzedek implies that you have to return to those that don't have what you have of theirs. And therefore it's a right, or it's a mishpat almost, it's the just way to be. Tzedakah is not charity, but rather righteousness or justness. Therefore, the two words may not be uncorrelated. They might actually mean the same thing. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Gdola Gmilut Chesedim Yoter Min Tzedakah. This is a beautiful thing. Gmilut Chesed far exceeds Tzedakah. Shneamar. How do I know this? Because it says, Ziru Lachem Litzedakah. Sow for yourselves Tzedakah, righteousness. V'kitzru Lefi Chesed. And reap according to the Chesed, according to the kindness that was done. Im adam zorea, when a person plants or sows, safek ochel, safek eno ochel, we're not guaranteed as to the outcome. There's a lot of risk between the time you plant and the outcome. But adam kotzer, vaday ochel. When you harvest, when you reap, then you certainly eat. So you see that tzedakah is compared to planting, whereas chesed is compared to reaping. So the pasuk clearly gives a hierarchy of chesed way above that of tzedakah. Plus there's a certainty. It's tzedakah, there's a certain amount of uncertainty, which we'll talk about it in a second. Chesed has more certainty. Avraham Rabbi Elazar, ain't tzedakah mishtalemet elefi chesed sheba. The tzedakah, the reward of the tzedakah, is only about the chesed that is embedded in it. Shneamar ziru lechem tzedakah, you sow with tzedakah, v'kitzru lefi chesed, and the reward is according to the chesed that was reaped. So Rashi explains, what does that mean? What does it mean, elefi chesed sheba? So Rashi says, hanetinahi tzedakah, the giving is the tzedakah. That's the physical act of giving tzedakah, is to give. V'atorach hu achesed. The investment that you make to do it, that is the chesed. So of course you can give tzedakah. Give tzedakah is just a simple physical act of giving the money. Chesed is the undertaking that you went through in order to do that. Which is, did you take it over to the Ani's house? Did you, instead of giving them money, did you bake bread so they have a finished product? So that's the investment that you made in order to give to them something better, or to make it easier for them, or give them access to it. Or did you make them clothing that they can wear? Or did you give them monies when they could use it? They could utilize it because everything was available to them at that time. Shenoten li bo v'da'ato l'tovato sh'ani. That is the investment. Where you don't even think about just the tzedakah, you put your heart and your soul into making sure that this is to the benefit of the ani. So you're invested in the tzedakah. You don't just give the tzedakah, you're invested in the tzedakah. And there's more to just the giving than the simple monetary gift. There is a thoughtfulness to the gift. There is a investment to make sure that the gift is appropriate for the ani. And that's what it means that the tzedakah is all about the chesed shibah. Tan Rabbanan, b'shlosha dvarim gdola gmilut chesedim yoter min tzedakah. In three ways, gmilut chesed is greater than tzedakah. Tzedakah b'mamono. Tzedakah can only be done through monetary gifts. Gmilut chesedim ben begufo ben b'mamono. Gmilut chesed can be done physically. You can actually do gmilut chesed without giving anything in its monetary sense, or you can do it through money as well. Both of them have an appropriate outlet in terms of gmilut chesedim. So if, for instance, you can do gmilut chesed by giving a hesped, by misameach the chatan v'kala, which is not a monetary expenditure, that's you yourself doing something. On the other hand, it can also be mamon, which is you can lend money to someone. Lend someone who is in a difficult situation and lend them money. That's not tzedakah, but that is gmilut chesed. Tzedakah li'aniim. Tzedakah is only to those that don't have. Whereas gmilut chesedim is ben l'aniim ben l'yashimim. It's independent of the economic standing of the individual. You can do gmilut chesedim for someone who is wealthy. Tzedakah l'chaim. Tzedakah can only be given to someone who's alive. Money only matters to people who are alive. Kilo b'moto yikach hakol. When you pass away, you're not going to take it all with you. So it's only valuable to the person while they're alive. On the other hand, gmilut chesedim ben l'chaim ben l'mitim. Gmilut chesed can also be done to those that have passed away, and that is chesed shel emet. Taking care of the mate, bearing the mate, giving kavod the mate, hesped to the mate. There are all these things that can be done even after death. So here the Gemara says that the gmilut chesedim is much greater than tzedakah in these three manners because it exceeds tzedakah because of these issues. And that was before we saw zeru lachem litzedakah v'kitzru lefi chesed. There we see that the pasuk before told us that you plant with tzedakah, which has uncertainty to it, kitzru lefi chesed. By chesed, there's much more certainty to it because of your direct involvement in the process. In that we, in general, excel as a society of tzedakah. We're great at giving tzedakah, we're great at giving charity or tzedakah. But we are much more difficult, there are more limited opportunities in terms of gemilut chesed. About actually engaging in chesed and engaging in the activity of helping others in gemilut chesedim rather than simply the tzedakah, the monetary aspect of giving. Whoever does tzedakah mishpat is as if he filled the world with chesed. Shnemar, ohev tzedakah mishpat, chesed Hashem mal'aha aretz. The one who loves tzedakah mishpat, chesed Hashem, then the kindness of Hashem has filled the world. So they see that as a derivative of tzedakah mishpat. Shema tomar kol abalik potz kofetz. Maybe you would think anybody who jumps to do it can jump to do it. Tamad omar. How precious, how rare is that chesed elukim? Yochal af yirei shamayim. You would think for yirei shamayim it was difficult. Tamal omar, chesed Hashem miolam v'ad olam al yirei av. Chesed of Hashem from one world to the next is al yirei av, on those that fear him. So the way Rashi explains this is, there's two sides to this. In order for the tzedakah, the chesed, to end up with the right individual, that's very difficult. That the tzedakah that you give and the chesed you give, that the recipient or the beneficiary is appropriate, that's very difficult. So that's one stage. But despite all that difficulty, even if you invest in it, Hashem only allows yirei af. He only allows those that are yirei shamayim, those that are close to Hashem, to actually find the appropriate beneficiary. It's a very interesting, conceptually, that there's two problems here. One problem is, Shema kol abad likpots, lasot tzedakah v'chesed kofetz, umaspikim u'mamtzim lo, and you find for him, anashim hu ganim lekach, people who are appropriate recipients of the Gmilat Chesed Tzedakah. Tamar Mayikar. It's not easy to find proper beneficiaries, proper recipients. You have to take time, make effort to raise after it. It's not always readily available to give it to the proper beneficiaries to find the right people. But that's not enough because it's not enough just to invest and to do it. It's only for those that are Yirei Av. So for the Yirei Av, it comes easy. For those that are not Yirei Av, it's very difficult. So those that are Yirei Av can find the proper beneficiaries or the proper recipients. So it's an interesting, conceptually, in terms of Gemilat Chesed and Tzedakah, which we all know is the difficulty in these areas, is finding proper beneficiaries and proper recipients. The Gemara tells us, we'll see that later on in the Masechet Tanit, that we find that there are many charlatans, there are many people who are inappropriate recipients coming around and collecting, so people are reluctant to give. On the other hand, the Gemara says that protects us, because if everybody was honestly who was coming to collect or who needed was really needy, then we would be obligated to give, and we'd have no excuses in terms of not giving. The fact that there are people who are cheating the system and people that are not doing right gives us a little bit of an excuse to say why we don't give. It gives us an outlet, because otherwise we'd really be held accountable for not helping everybody to the fullest extent. Obviously, the Musar Askel from this is we'll have to work hard to find those proper recipients and beneficiaries and to make sure that it gets there and that our tzedakah and our chesed get the, I guess, the biggest bang for the buck. That's what is being described here. That was also the last thing we said before about the puzzle before, that tzedakah is zoreya. When you do tzedakah, you're planting, because planting has risk in it, whether you're going to have an outcome. Tzedakah, charity, when you give it, has much more risk involved in getting to the right beneficiary. Gemilut chesed, which is katsru, is much more certain because you're personally involved with it. When you're personally involved with it, you see that the chesed, you see the beneficiary, so you know what's going on. It's much easier to ensure that gemilut chesed gets to the right place than tzedakah gets to the right place. It might also be part of that pasuk that tzedakah is compared to zriyah and chesed is compared to tzira. Right, so now Amar Rav Chama bar Papa, kol adam sheyesh alav chein biyadua shu yirei shemayim. Other girsaot in the shlar, it's chesed, but a person has a certain amount of grace to them, biyadua shu yirei shemayim. You know that he is a fearful of heaven, he's a person that is liked by Hashem. Shnemer chesed Hashem yolam yad olam al yireyav. But the chesed Hashem is found on yireyav. That's why the other girsa is chesed instead of chein, because the pasuk that they quote here is chesed, but the Gemara in other places says that a person who has chut shel chesed mashuch alav, person has like a string of chesed on him, he has chen, he has a certain amount of grace, it's because of the way that he learned Torah at night, he did other things that make him into a Yirei Shemayim. So we do see a correlation, a connection between chen and chesed. That her mouth opens with wisdom, the Torah chesed and the Torah of kindness is on her tongue. What does that mean, Torah chesed? Is that, there's two different types of Torah. There's a Torah that involves chesed, a Torah that doesn't involve chesed. Ella, Torah lishma, zui Torah shel chesed. When one learns lishma for the appropriate reasons, that's Torah chesed. Shlo lishma, zui Torah sheino shel chesed. That's a Torah that's not of chesed. Iged amrei, an alternative view is, Torah lelamdo, zui Torah shel chesed. Person who learns Torah in order to give over to others, to teach others, that's a Torah of chesed. That's the classic sense of chesed, that you don't do just for yourself, you do for others. But shalolo amda, if you just learn Torah for your own, not to convey it, not to pass it on to others, zoi Torah sheino shel chesed. That's Torah that's not of chesed. So you have two different versions of this. One is Torah lishma, where you do Torah for the sake of heaven, versus Torah that's not for the sake of heaven, which is for personal benefit or personal gain. That's one view of chesed and chesed. The other one is about the nature of the Torah. Are you learning the Torah for, again, personal gain, personal growth? Or is the Torah being learned in order to convey to others and help others in their learning of Torah? They say that the same way they drew the water on Chol, they drew it on Shabbat, except on Shabbat they went earlier, and they took it before Shabbat, and they put it in a vessel that was not Kodesh, that was not a Klisharet. Vamai, Naiti bi Mikudeshet. Why don't they just bring it up in a Klisharet? Why are they using a non-Kadosh Kli? So Amar Ziri Kasavar, he says there are two premises to this. Ein Shiur Lamayim. Number one is there's no exact measurement to the nisuch hamayim. Therefore, whatever goes into the kli is going to become kadosh, because anything that goes in there is ra'uy to be part of the nisuch hamayim. Number two is kli sharet mekadshin shelo midat. Kli sharet is mekadesh what's in it, even without your acquiescence, without your intent. It doesn't matter what you think. As soon as it gets in there, it's mekadesh it. So here, when you put the water in there, on Erev Shabbat, if you put in a Kli Sharet, number one is there's no shiur, so whatever you put in there is going to become Kodesh. Number two is, it's going to become Kodesh whether you like it or not. Once it becomes Kodesh, the Maitim Mim Kodesh it, Ipsilulu Belina, which we spoke about yesterday, then you're going to have a problem. Anything that's in a Kli Sharet is limited in its duration or its time. It expires, because in Kadesh Kedusha Deguf, once it attains Kedusha Deguf, Havelek Yemurei Karban, it's like any other Yemurim of a Korban, that if they're left overnight, they become Psulim. Chizki Amar, Kli Sharet Ein Mikadshim El Abidat. Chizki disagrees and says, Kli Sharet only have the ability to sanctify an object, to make it into Kedusha Deguf, Midat, if you intend for it to do so. So then, what's the problem here? Why didn't they bring it up in a Kli Sharet? They could have just brought it up in a Kli Sharet and say, I don't want it to become Kadosh, Kedusha Deguf. Zera, Shemri Yomru Ladat, Nid Kachu. Because people watching won't know what they did. They'll think, ah, he did it intentionally and he was Mekadesh it. If he's Mekadesh it, then how do they leave it overnight? And then, Yatsami Zechurva, that people think you can leave things overnight. Amar Rabbi Yana, Rabbi Zera, Afilu Teima Yeshu or the Mayim. Even if you want to argue that the water has a fixed measurement, Ukli Sharet Ein Mekadeshim El Midat, and on top of that, Kli Sharet only are Mekadesh Kedusha Deguf with intent. So then, in this case, it doesn't matter. You can put it into a Kli Sharet. Number one is, if you don't get the exact amount of water that you need, it's not going to be Mekadesh it because it's not the right measurement. Number two is, you have to have intent for it to be Mekadesh. So in that way, you could use a Kli Sharet and probably never run into a problem with Lina. Ukzeiro Shemi Yomru Likidush Yadayim Raglayim Milan. He filled them for washing of the hands and feet. We saw this back in Yoma, that for the Kohen Gadol and Yom Kippurim, they used to fill the water into a golden vessel for him to wash his hands and his feet with, not from the Kiyor. So there is an alternative to the Kiyor. You can draw water. As long as it goes into a clear sharet that is Kodesh, then it's water that's good for Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim. Now, if you filled the water for Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim, then it would be subject to the normal rules of Kiddushat Aguf and Lina. So if somebody's going to see you bringing up the water in a golden vessel, is that for the Nisuch HaMayim, or is that for Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim? They're not going to know. So then they're going to see you leave it over, and it's going to stay overnight, and they're going to make a mistake that the waters for Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim can also be left over. So because of that, we don't bring it in a kli or utensil that is Kodesh, because we don't want any of these mistakes to happen or these misunderstandings to happen. So even though the original conclusion was that because they don't bring it in, it must be that Kli Sharet is Mekadesh Lo Midat, and Ein Shiur the Mayim. That's why we worry about it, because then it will become Kodesh. The other Amoraim say, no, you don't have to conclude that. You can even conclude that Kli Sharet is not Mekadesh, or that there is a Shiur the Mayim, and these are Gzeirot, so that people don't make any mistakes with it. All right, we'll stop over here.